putting on a performance.
You know what?
You're rhyming.
My voice is not nearly as raspy today as when I tried to sing that song at karaoke, and they fucking censored me.
Oh, Black Skinhead?
Yeah.
Oh.
Censored.
Episode 15?
These niggas ain't doing shit. Are there 15 episodes?
Dude, this is like episode 18.
Fucking hell. Wow.
And I did it. We did. There's actually a half episode. I did episode 9.5, which was the. All right, we're going to get this started. Welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. Email us at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. Check us out on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, and our website, ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. All the episodes are free. Jeff, what's the good word?
Nothing really. I got nothing new.
Nothing's happened this week? You spent a week at your new job?
Yeah, I have a new job. I spent a week there. It's good. You know, like nothing.
Like, you know what I did this morning?
What'd you do?
I got down a Christmas tree.
Oh, right, because it's Christmas.
Like a man, like right. A lumberjack.
Right. I don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah? I know you hate Christmas. I didn't know you celebrate it.
I don't hate it. I don't celebrate it.
Because I've seen you buy people gifts. I think you might have bought me a gift.
Occasionally. And it's like only when the social pressure is really high.
Like girlfriend or, yeah.
It's stuff like that. My reasoning's pretty flawed. Like, it's not very good at all. I'm not Christian. I'm not religious. I'm not like something else, but I'm not Christian. I don't see why I should be celebrating a Christian holiday.
It's not a Christian holiday. It's a pagan holiday. It's just a celebration of the winter solstice.
I'm also not pagan, so what do you do?
Well, any shout-outs out for the week? Shouts out for the week?
Shout out to the lady that cut my hair. The mute lady wasn't in, and I guess the B squad was there, and she did a terrible job. So shout out to you.
Terrible job. It is a shitty haircut.
Yeah.
So the deaf girl's better?
I described the way this haircut looks as an uncircumcised penis. Like, it looks bad.
You're right.
Yeah, right? When you think about it.
I guess we'll go.
You know what? There's really nothing new with me. There's, like, I'd like to make up something interesting about my interesting super. No, it's not. I got nothing.
Didn't you buy a Ferrari, though? This is podcast land. You can be anything you want.
Can I say I leased it?
No, you can't even say that. Mm. So I was going to shout out to those guys making a podcast. All the podcast premise is they review Grown Ups 2. Right. Every episode every from week. Different angles.
Yeah. How many different angles are there to Grown Ups 2?
I haven't even seen the first angle.
You know what? I haven't even seen Grown Ups 1. So I'm way behind in this.
So I was kind of excited this week to get Tony Danza on.
Right.
Because he didn't do it last week.
The guy's flaky.
I think you're right. Sex, one of those sexual harassment allegations.
Probably.
Celebrities are dropping like flies. This week, instead of Tony Danza, he's ironing curtains. I remember that being part of the intro.
Ironing curtains?
From Who's the Boss.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, I was just watching. I was like, why is that man doing that?
Man, that's not a way to advertise a show, but okay, yeah.
But
I like it how they kind of went there with, like, he's a maid, but he's like a man. They kind of, you know, and that was the 90s?
And he's a nanny. He's a manny.
Right, that's what I mean. And, you know, at the time, gender roles were more defined and people weren't so annoying about that kind of shit. But, you know, he was really trailblazer.
Plus, he's, although fair-skinned, back then, he's like Italian, right?
Mm.
Living with a white family.
Mm.
So I think there's a little bit of not just sexism, but racism.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The 80s. So no Tony Danza, not this week. And we got Warwick.
Hello.
Hey, Warwick, how are you doing?
How's I'm that good. Spelled? How are
you? It's Warwick. Second W is silent.
So like Warwick Davis?
Well,
he's that short fella.
I suppose.
Yeah. You know Warwick Davis is?
No idea.
He's an actor. He's English, I think, and he's really short. He's like a midget. He's a little person. And he was in some movies, you know.
I think he was in Harry Potter. I think he was a goblin.
Might have been, yeah. There aren't that many midget actors, you know, in the game. And not as many ones with name recognition like Warwick Davis.
Well, that's not the Warwick we have today. We have the
we
other
have the
Warwick.
Only other one in the world.
He's not particularly tall, but he's like average size.
5'6".
Mm-hmm. 5'6". Anyways, tell us what you're about.
I like music. Politics are interesting. I don't know. More specifically, I don't know.
Well, the little bit I know about you is you work at being a professional poker player.
I am a legendary degenerate.
A legendary degenerate gambler. And do you have any particular religious beliefs that we might find interesting?
Well, I'm really interested in Satanism.
Now, when you say interested, you read about it?
Yes.
You go to meetings about it? No other Satanists?
No.
Do you have any online communication?
Do you preach
with
the good
online
word?
Online stuff. Preach the good word.
Yeah.
There's, like, well, I mean, I don't know. There's different types of Satanism.
Do you witness?
What do I witness?
Do you witness?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that's when you, like, preach the good word. You know?
No, not really, no. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's just, so there's at least 5 different types of Satanism that are distinguishable. A lot of it is atheistic. They're just political movements. It's just opposition to, you know, the religious right. Christians, they pass a lot of legislation, so the idea is just that they oppose that. The word Satan is just Hebrew for enemy or adversary, so if you're adversarial to the Christians, well, you're a Satanist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it lines up with something I think I heard or read or thought I read, maybe, but yeah. Where they said they call it Satanism because it's the worship of oneself, and the worst thing you can do is put yourself above God. I think that's one of the really bad ones. Like, you could kill somebody and kind of, you might slide through on that, but when you start worshiping yourself above God, which
that's
is one of
the
things
the
Satan was, that kind of put him where he is, right? He thought he was better than God, got, I think, what was it, 2/3 of the angels to come.
Yeah, was he the highest ranking angel? Or
He was in the Seraphim, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry?
He was, well, according to the Christian version of Satan, he was in the Seraphim, which is the highest choir of angels.
Oh. Oh. So.
There's different versions.
Top dog.
So, I mean, Christianity wasn't obviously one of the first religions that came along. It committed many acts of cultural genocide against earlier existing religions, and everything that opposed them was Satan, Satanists, whatever.
So they called to use it as a blanketed term?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Like that
they just
big
call anybody enemy. Like, if that's what the word means, like enemy, that could be, there could be many different enemies.
Yeah.
And if you use the same word for it, then sure, that could sound like somebody's given name.
So groups that we would refer to as Satanists really got that name as a part of propaganda against people trying to make them look bad.
Yeah, Wiccans don't like the rap they've been getting either.
Don't
like,
know any
real Wiccans, like, apparently they don't like how they're portrayed in pop culture.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but we're here to talk about Satanism.
Well, and what is it that attracts you to Satanism? Is it the worship of Satan? Is it because you listen to a lot of metal?
I do listen to a lot of metal that likes to sing about Satan.
Well, it's a good subject. When
it's interesting. It's
awesome,
you know,
guitar solos.
Well, okay. So, like, it means many different things, but if you're going to look at it from the Christian version of it, it's inspired a lot of, you know, works of art like Paradise Lost, which is the first example in English literature where Satan is a protagonist, and it kind of puts him in a sympathetic light. And it's just a great story. So there's that, and then there's also just the simplicity of being adversarial to Christianity.
Why don't you tell us about, I kind of want to hear about your roommate, Keith.
That was a good time.
Ugh.
Sarcastic.
Now, wait, how long ago was this? Like, give us an idea, time frame.
A few months ago. I lived with a man named Keith. He offered a free, or well, not free, but it was cheap place to stay. He was a 6'4", big guy, gay, He was a racist too, so he's black, I'm white. He was quite racist, and people tell me black people can't be racist. I disagree.
Yeah. Like, white people can't be underprivileged.
That's the thing too.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinions.
So how was he actually racist though? Like, is it just you being sensitive as a white person and your frail Caucasian ego?
You know, it might have been that, or it could have been that he was constantly, you know, trashing white people. Like,
oh, so he had a good hate on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe he had been, you know, dealt with some struggle about being black or.
Well, the thing is, I never, you know, contributed to that, so.
No, I don't get that vibe off you. You know, you were going to be his roommate.
I was trying to show with the guy,
homosexuality and racism aside to live with a.
It was a cheap place to stay. It was a good location nearby, you know, the central Guilford.
And so you're sharing this. It must have been cheap because you said he was intimidating. Is how you kind of described
it. Oh, he was aggressive. He was socially aggressive. The first night that I moved in, he tried to jump in bed with me. And I very politely rejected him. I said, I'm not interested. But I tried, you know, from that point on, I tried to just get along with the guy. And he...
I feel like it sounded like more like, I'm not interested.
Wait, do you mean he was in bed or he tried to jump in?
Like, he started, like, trying to creep up in my bed. And I was...
Yeah.
He wanted to cuddle.
Hand on the covers, yeah.
And so during the course of the time I lived there, he would, like, occasionally just kind of touch me. Just, like, put his hand on my shoulder or, like, whatever.
But, like, not anything, like, sexual, just creepy.
It was creepy. And
like
I told him...
Like, at the bar when you're, like, someone's trying to talk to a girl and, like, you make that arm contact.
That's assault.
It was creepy, and I told him, like, you know, I'm just not, you know, bubble, you know. Yeah. He was trying to start a lot of fights, I think.
Yeah. I went and saw this guy once. I went to your place to hang out, and he was there. And I got the vibe, like, immediately before he said anything, that you're schizophrenic and you're going to kill somebody someday. Like, that's the vibe I got from him.
That sound about right?
I would say he was crazy.
You know, what was his dating life like? Did he?
Well, he was gay, so I mean, it's a party, obviously. how hard is it? You
they
know,
like to party.
The gays are fun.
So, the way the house was set up, it was, you know, you walk in the front door, and then it's just like a line straight to the end. It's just a hallway. The first room is the living room. Then it's like my bathroom's to the right. There's the kitchen, my room, his room at the far end.
So you guys pass each other a lot.
Well, he was in and out of my room all the time because his room was at the far end and he had to go through my room. 3 a.m. walks through my room, grabs my toes, and I tell him what the fuck, and I flip out. And then he gives me this shit like, oh, don't pretend you were asleep, which I was. But even if I wasn't asleep, why are you in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning touching my fucking toes?
That's a valid question.
Then he would get aggressive about it, too. Like, whenever I told him, like, that's not cool, man. He would, you know, tower over me, finger in my face, start talking shit. Specifically... You know, shit like white people, you know.
So you got a little bit of slack. So for the listeners, you're not a big guy. You're about average size guy. And how much taller is he than you? Is he a
6'4"? He's about a foot taller.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that
but you
sounds
know, like,
friendly.
That's kind of weird to like touch somebody's toes while they're sleeping. I mean, I wouldn't be very cool with it. I'd probably freak out, but I just don't know how blown my mind would be if that person, like when I confront them, if they responded with anything but apology. Like, how do you, like, what kind of a psychopath doesn't know you shouldn't do that?
Well, he's the guy, you know, you tell him respect, like, this is like my thing. Don't touch me, please. It's a respect thing. And then he just kind of goes, oh, I touch people. That's what I do. And you have to respect that I'm going to touch you. It's like, well, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah. I saw some memes on Facebook.
I made a couple memes about him.
Yeah. And you know what? He deserves it. Anybody that does that kind of stuff deserves to be memed.
But so the bit about it being one long hallway. So my bathroom was here. My bedroom was here. What he would do is he would put a sheet up in my bathroom because there was two bathrooms. He would use mine, put a sheet up with a hole in it. And it was a glory hole. And he would just invite dudes over and just have a glory hole. So I would be in my room and he would tell me, oh, you got to like stay on that area of the house. So here I am waiting to go for a cigarette. And I got to wait for him to finish sucking somebody's dick.
Oh, I was just about to ask you which side of the sheet he was on, but you answered my question.
I would say he was the bottom, yeah. He was inviting people over, like, hey, come here, I'll suck your dick. He was probably getting paid. Jeez. And, like, I, you know, but it's just the fact that it restricted my freedoms to, like, move about my house.
Yeah.
He had his own bathroom, his own section of the house.
I feel kind of weird when people are doing something sexual in front of me. Like, I don't want to mess it up. So, like, for instance, I was on the hammock on my deck, and the person on the deck across from me, you know, these buildings are close together, they're fucking on their deck. And I'm like, oh, no, they don't know I'm here. So I try not to make any noise, because if I get up, I know she's going to be like, oh, there's people out, blah, blah, blah. And because, you know, and that's probably going to fuck this up. So I don't want to do it. So what do? I sit there for 10 minutes. And, like, I don't even play on my phone because of the light.
This is nighttime then?
This kind of thing happens, you know? And, like, I'd be really weirded out. Like, if these guys were having this glory hole thing in the bathroom, like, I got to go to the bathroom, I'm going to feel weird about getting up and, like, even going to the other one, because I feel like you guys are assholes for putting me in the situation where I've got to even think about this and feel uncomfortable. Like, fuck you.
Am I right? I'd have trouble, like, watching reruns of Seinfeld and having, like, guys coming in, going into the bathroom, leaving, another guy come in. Because I assume this is...
I don't remember that Seinfeld.
No, he's sitting on the couch and watching TV. You share living accommodation, yeah. Right? You're in the living room, and, like, they're going to hang out while they go to the glory hole.
Was he acting like this wasn't a big deal, like you should respect that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just supposed to accept the way that he was, and then right. He was just going to shit on me for not washing his dishes. It was like...
What?
I was a perfectly, you know, good roommate. I was quiet, kept to myself. And he would start fights over me. The dishes weren't washed. And I would say, well, yeah, I washed my dishes. Why am I washing your dishes? Yeah. Why are you eating my food? Are you going to replace my food? And he would fight about that.
Wow.
Well, you're not living with him anymore then?
Oh, no, I'm out of there. I got a much better arrangement.
Yeah.
Right on.
You know, there's a psychopath test, the PCLR, and I really think that guy would, well, either pass it or fail it, depending on what's what, but he's a psychopath for sure. Like, he does stuff, and he doesn't think it's wrong. It's like, if you don't feel remorse, like, isn't that the crux of being a psychopath? I don't think he does.
I don't remember if it's a real thing, but they say there's a question to see if you're a psychopath.
What's that?
So, girl goes to a funeral, goes to her sister's funeral, and at the funeral she meets a guy, and they hit it off, but it's a funeral and you don't take people's phone numbers and stuff like that. And then a week later she kills her mom. Why do you think she killed her mom?
What I don't even know. Like, I thought she was trying to hook up.
And that's the answer. If you're a psychopath, you go, oh, killed her mom, just in, so there's another funeral so you get a chance to see the guy again. That's a psychopath's line of thinking. They see it more now.
Well, I've taken the practice PCLR test, the psychopath test. I've taken some of these sample practice ones online, and they're a great drinking game, by the way. But they ask basically those, like, those word questions. They ask those, like, in this situation, you're driving a car, this guy dies, how do you feel? And it's a great drinking game, and you know what? Jessica's a psychopath.
Oh, yeah? Jessica from previous episodes?
Yeah, she answered a couple of those really fucked up, and she was serious.
Is there a spectrum for psychopath?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, but I kind of still want to be friends with her.
This guy was one for sure, because his answer to, like, being wrong about something would be to, like, call out your white privilege. Like, that's weird. That's a weird stance to take. Didn't he say something about, like, where do you get your fresh rights from?
He said something like that, and I didn't know what it meant, and I asked him about that. What's fresh rights? And he didn't have a response.
I wonder if it's a black thing.
I Googled it. There's nothing. I don't know what fresh rights is. I still don't know what he meant by that.
I thought it was maybe, like, just after emancipation when black people, like, had some rights in America. I figured it might be that, like, fresh rights are like, hey, we got rights now. Ooh, it's fresh. You know, but that's probably not what he's talking about.
Sounds like an you know what, you could make a sitcom out of that. Like, Netflix would pick that up.
I've been told that. On the day to day when I would be, you know, like, you know, telling stories about this guy, I was told it would make a good sitcom. Yeah. Or I didn't find it as funny as other people did. I don't
know. At least it could be a dedicated reoccurring storyline on an existing show. Like what's that? Broad City, you know, that one girl, she has a roommate that you never see, but her boyfriend's over there all the time, and so her boyfriend's essentially the bad roommate, even though he doesn't live there.
So, obviously, Elijah Wood's going to play you in this sitcom.
That's what I see, yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to play your roommate?
Well, who's a tall black guy?
Well, I was going to say the guy who did 8 Mile, but I think he passed away.
Who?
The big guy who did 8 Mile.
I didn't see it, to be honest.
He was in Armageddon.
What about Morpheus from the
Matrix? Is he big enough? He's pretty old, though. Like, he's getting on. He's not as young as he was in The Matrix.
Yeah, and... Yeah.
Well, as long as the height difference is clear between the two characters.
Yeah. You know, for a guy who's a bottom, he's awfully aggressive.
Yeah.
That's puzzling.
Did you ever hear from him? You guys stay in touch?
No. I didn't get my damage deposit back either.
Yeah, you didn't think you were going to, did you?
I think I should have. What?
People always try to fuck you out of damage deposits. I hate that.
Warwick, I know it's you cutting holes in all my sheets. No, dude, that's right? That's you. That's yeah. You, man. That's definitely
Can
you.
Can you imagine if he was like, the next day, he was like, hey, why didn't you clean up my mess? You're like, what the? You know, like, I bet he's the kind of unreasonable guy that expect you to, like, fold up the sheet and put it back away.
Maybe he's been in prison.
And oh, he has.
What?
Oh, then that explains quite a bit there.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't lead with that?
Well,
shit.
I mean, there wasn't much of a story there, but yeah, there was times when we would kind of just get along, and like we'd go over grocery shopping, smoke some weed, whatever. And you know, I tried to get along with him, but yeah. So he told me a story about being in prison. It wasn't terribly exciting. He was in for like a few months, for a robbery or whatever. And the only interesting thing that happened to him in prison was he had to fight somebody about using the coffee machine, and that's one thing. So as far as I know,
but maybe that's where he picked up that like, wash my dishes there, bitch. You know, like
he tried to make me his bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, but he thinks if he doesn't do it to you, you're going to do it to him.
So I was just trying to chill.
You should have just led with like started talking down to the large man and be like, listen, this is the way it is. You got to hit him first. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, one of the first things he said to me was like, okay, we're not going to yell at each other. We're going to be like casual, you know, roommates that just kind of chill. And I was like, well, yeah, I was confused about that we would need to say up front, let's not yell at each other, because I don't really yell at people. But then he started yelling at me. So this is like a thing. He's had previous roommates, and I guess he just has trouble getting along with people.
Well, he's moved on. I wonder what his new roommate's thinking.
Oh, my God, I bet he's had 12. You know? Like... I think that's the kind of situation where you or me, we like touch, you know, like if somebody touched your toes like the first night, there wouldn't be a second night, you know?
Yeah.
But like, no, not to put you down, but I mean, like, you're in a situation where, you know, it's the cheapest place, you're trying to save money, and it's in a neighborhood you like, so you're kind of like stuck with it.
Well, I mean, I paid for it and I had nowhere else to go.
Right, yeah. And you know, if he's going to screw you for the damage deposit, that probably means he wasn't going to like give you your rent back.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to jump ship with somebody like that.
I wish I would have jumped ship sooner, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've been really lucky. I mean, I've had pretty okay roommates. I had Jeff was my roommate for a while. Intern Brad.
I heard that you and Jeff weren't great roommates.
No, that's not true.
Really? What did you hear?
No. I said, Brad, dude asked me, said, what's the worst roommate you ever had? Or the worst roommate you ever had? I'm like, I don't know. Trevor what did you say? You're like, why?
You told me a story about you told Trevor that you fucked a toaster.
Yeah It was like it had like a lot of crumbs in the bottom, like a lot of them, and I dumped it out or something, and I don't know,
we didn't treat that place pretty good. We had a shooting range in the hallway.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
We put a mattress up against the wall and like shot pellet guns across. I used to drive golf balls right out the window of the big deck because they were working on the side of the building and there was the some lattice up and some tarps. What's the fucking working?
Scaffolding.
Scaffolding, thank you. And I'd shoot it through the patio door into the tarp, and it would go down, nice. And I'd go collect them, and I could just drive out the window. Only thing is, you hit the wall or the window every once in a while.
Right. Yeah.
Dong.
What I didn't like about that place is the quote-unquote fire drills like basically every month. Their fire alarm went off accidentally, like, more than I think one should. But enough about that. Roommates. I haven't had very roommates, and I've actually had some pretty good roommates.
Well, speaking as your worst roommate.
Yeah.
Wait.
You know what? It's basically a three-way tie.
Who are the other two?
Chris and Tom.
I know Tom. I don't know Chris.
Yeah, he's an unassuming Asian guy. Yeah.
Yes. I remember now.
Yeah.
What makes Tom a bad roommate?
No, it's a three-way tie for first.
Yeah.
Tom's not a bad roommate. Is he?
I didn't meet him.
No, no, I don't think
he had a very nautical themed house, though.
Yeah, very nautical themed. There's like shells and boat stuff, and yeah, you're very into the water. You get an ocean feel.
Remember when I got that roommate off Craigslist?
Remind me.
So there was a girl. She was like 21, just moved out of her parents' place.
Yeah.
She lived at a halfway house with young men who had a sexual crime. So she lived there for a week, and then she came back for a week. So 2 weeks out of the month, she
worked there. I dated a girl that did that.
Yeah, she. Yeah. I wonder if it's the same girl. I don't remember her name.
Uh-huh.
And she seemed like a great roommate, young girl. I needed somebody to give me money.
Yeah, she was young when I dated her too.
And well, I wasn't. She was a pretty girl, nice hair, nice clothes. Didn't take care of herself. She's a little heavier,
uh-huh.
right? Which it wasn't a factor because she's going to be my roommate,
right.
not somebody I'm looking to date.
Yeah.
So she moved in, and she starts telling me after a couple of drinks, hanging out, you're getting to know your new roommate. She starts telling me about her sexual exploits, right? She starts telling me about how she's been in like, I've been in both kinds of three-way, you know, two guys and two girls.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've got a girlfriend of mine. We sometimes get down. She's 21, and I think she told me she'd been with like 25 people or something like that, or 25 guys or 25 people.
Right.
I don't remember, maybe more. And I thought, like, you know,
that's a bold thing to say.
That's not for a 21-year-old. Yeah. Like, let's, you know, I'm doing the math. Like, if that's four people a year over the, you know, whatever. But I go, like, and then she tells me she lost her virginity at 19.
Right. So that's an even shorter span.
She's burned through this, and I'm thinking it's been less than 2 years.
Wow.
So she got into it, and that was, I kind of like hearing her exploits. You know, it never came up. Never got flirty. Never really? Got touchy, anything like that, except.
Because you would think that she's kind of on a roll and that, like, you know, she could do worse.
Well, except one time I come home. And the night before, I had a whole other story, but I had a crazy sex night the day before. And I told her about it because she talks about her sex life. I'm not shy about talking about mine. And she said she hinted at something. She said, my girlfriend's coming over. Her fiance's out of town. We're going to get drunk. We'll probably fuck around a little bit with each other. I'm like, okay, I'll come home whatever later. And then I forgot about it. Like, I went out, I had drinks, hung out with friends or something. I think I came home at 11, and I walk in and I look left because the bedroom was right to the left when you walked in the door, and there was the bathroom. And I see both the bathroom door open and the bedroom door open. She's hunched over the toilet throwing up in a very short, like sassy kind of housecoat,
okay.
But her ass is sticking out of the air. And her friend had just pulled a blanket over herself, but there was still a pink vibrator sitting on the bed.
Cool.
And I just catch a glimpse of my peripheral. Like, you don't want to look. And I just walk in. And then she, I guess she rinsed out her mouth, got up. And that's when she came on, Tyrus Truly here.
Oh.
Aggressively.
How aggressively?
Like, walking up to me. Her, not blouse, her robe was a little disheveled. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, she's saying things like, come join us. Come in and stuff. And I'm like, oh, no, like. I wasn't interested in either of these girls.
Right.
I did consider it because 2 fives is a 10.
Yeah.
Right? 2 fives is a 10. I thought about it and I'm like, no. And I was hungover too. I wasn't really like in a partying kind of mood. And I was like, I will say, looking back, I was telling the story recently to someone and yeah, I kind of regret not jumping for it because why not? Huh. You know, why not? But she was getting like, come on, just let me suck your dick. Just let me suck your dick a little bit. And I'm like, and at the same time, Sharla texted me.
Right.
And she goes, hey, what are you doing? I go, nothing. You want to come over?
Yeah.
Cause I'm thinking like, this will lock it up. And it made shit weird.
Okay. So your friend comes over. These girls are making out or fooling around.
No, they've stopped now.
Okay.
She came in and she more or less chased me. Her friend didn't come out of the room. Yeah. I think she was engaged.
Oh.
And was she was a heavy-duty mechanic.
Cool.
Yeah, she was a heavy-duty mechanic, and her dad or something worked with intern Brad.
I wonder if she's listening.
Hey, shout out. How's it going? Good thing I don't remember her name.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot your name. I think we only met once.
Anyways, that was that. That's the end of that story.
Fucking roommates. Hey, what do you do for a living?
I gamble.
For a living?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can make some money, you can lose some money.
Horses.
That's not a thing very many people do.
Not with the intention of making money. Like,
well,
I'm pretty
well then
sure
why
about
do they do
I'm
it?
Pretty sure about making money. Well, a lot of people just do it because they have extra money, so they don't care if they win or lose, and it's like a fun social thing to do.
Oh, okay.
It's work for you.
Yeah, I take it pretty seriously.
Cards?
How did you get into that?
Well, my mother got me into it when she was when I was about 13, 14. And then I, you know, took it on myself to become you know, like a competent like winning player, because you see people making a living at it and all they do is play cards. I mean, that looks like a good time.
Huh.
And what do you do?
You know, I play cards.
And it is a good time?
Oh yeah, it's a good time. You know, it can be frustrating.
I don't get it.
Which part?
Like any of it?
I think it's kind of like sales.
How's that?
Well, I'm guessing there's highs and lows.
For sure, yeah.
Right, because it's a gamble.
Well, the thing about gambling, I mean, so when you're playing poker, you can choose to gamble. But more often than not, you're in a situation where like you can calculate where you're standing. You can be, you know, 15%, you can be 80%. So if you just know when to put the money in and when not to put the money in, and you're just better at guessing than your opponents, then it's less of a gamble and more of just, you know, I mean, it's like playing the stock market. You can predict patterns.
You got to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
Know when to
walk away. You got to know when to walk away.
And it does sound pretty exciting. I think people do have an interest of what that might be like. I definitely do. Like,
it's like watching paint dry. But the action is in your head.
Uh-huh.
It's a mind game. It's like chess.
So you got into this when you were 13. You can't go to the casino when you're 13.
No, I played online. I played for free. There's play chips. And it turns out people are willing to buy play chips. I found that out after a few years. So,
wait, so play chips?
Yes. So it's like free. You know, they give you like 1,000, you know, play chips. And it's like, it's nothing. But yeah, then you can play. You build it up on the cash games. I turned 1,000 into about 6 billion. Over a course of a couple of years, sold them originally for 80 cents a million, but then it was 40 cents a million. But it was about 3,000 for, you know, 6 billion play chips. And that was around the time I turned 19, so I went to the casino with money that I just kind of made for free. And
how much money did you make off of imaginary money?
3,000.
You made 3,000 Canadian dollars off of...
It was like 2,800.
Okay. And you got it by selling fake money?
Yeah.
Play money.
Yeah.
Who buys play money?
Well, there's people.
Like, I've never been playing Monopoly, and I'll be like, hey, I need more money. Like, can you just straight give me some money? I'll give you cash.
50 cents on the dollar for real cold,
yo,
hard cash.
I need a hotel today. I can't wait till I pass go.
I thought it was funny. I was surprised when I found out that people, you know, bought play money.
Well, you did the right thing. You cashed that shit
in. I sold it, yeah.
And you took it to the casino.
Yes, but, you know, it also made sense that people were buying play chips, because I used to wonder how some of those people made it up to the higher stakes.
Why do they do it?
Why do they do it?
Yeah, why do they buy chips?
Well, I mean, it's more satisfying to play for 100 million than 1,000.
Oh, so they want to skip the intro, like...
They don't want to earn all those chips. They
want
to play
run before they walk.
They want to play the high stakes.
I don't appreciate their work ethic.
I appreciated it.
Cool. Appreciate the money.
Did you blow the money in the, it was, because is gambling in a casino different than gambling online?
Oh, it's very different. The competition online is much tougher. When you're playing for real money, obviously there's a difference, but the thing about playing for play money is I kind of learned what casual players think like, so I have a lot of experience playing against casual players who do somewhat care about what they have on the table, because they paid for those play chips, or they sit down at the casino and they sit down with, you know, hundreds of dollars to play with. They care about it, but they're casual recreational players that don't think about the game too thoroughly. There's a lot of mistakes that they make, a lot of patterns and stuff. And so the people that purely learned by playing against, like, the good players online, I think they miss some of the spots that you can exploit the weaker tendencies of, you know, recreational players. The types of people that go there, get drunk, and then they just plan on socializing, and they don't care if they win or lose. It's just about having fun, right? And to them, having fun isn't, like, winning.
Yeah, does that kind of, like, almost annoy you?
You know, I mean, sometimes it depends.
You look at it a different way. You look at it as a puzzle, a put together puzzle or something to that.
There's a lot of different angles. The main thing is just it's about, you know, playing the people across the table from you. The cards matter second. It's a people game first. So if you can just outguess like the way your opponent thinks, that's it. You know, you can beat people just by understanding how they think and how they approach the game.
Huh.
Online, it's more about the numbers and, you know, the probabilities and statistics and whatever. And that's why those people are better, is because they analyze your tendencies. So they have tracking software, so they know the statistics of how often do you play pots, in what positions, how aggressive are you, how often do you fold to 3 bets, 4 bets, etc. So they just crunch the numbers and they play millions of hands. Online players have a lot more experience than live players because you're playing like 5, 6, 8 fucking tables at once, and then the hands are dealt much faster. So,
well, people get like several computer screens with several games on each screen, and
some
just
people go, yeah. So you play for a year online and you're doing this, you have, you know, 3 times the amount of experience as somebody who's gone to the casino, you know, twice a week for 20 years. And they think they know better than you because they're like, oh, I've been playing for 20 years. They've been doing it wrong for 20 years, you know.
Hmm. Look at you on top of the world. You're not even 20.
23.
And they've been doing this 20 years. So they could be like, oh, I've been going to the casino since you were born.
Well, that's got to give you a slight advantage as well, unsuspecting, like, young man comes in, they're like, oh yeah, I'll help this kid along, you know.
Like, how do you size somebody up when you've really never had an opponent like that, you know?
When I first walked in there, it was the reaction I got was interesting because I've always looked quite young for my age too. People were like, I want to go sit at that kid's table because I look like I'm 16 and I'm sitting on a pile of chips. And so people would sit down and then they would target me. I was, you know, people tried to constantly kind of, you know, contest situations with me they normally might just not care about. And, you know, I got the best of it for the most part. They were surprised by my lack of care for the money I was playing with. Oh. Because I made it from free and I was used to just kind of winning, like nonstop, constantly winning. So I was confident in everything I did. I would, you know, it was more about, is it the best decision rather than, oh, I'm putting, you know, $1,000 in the middle. So if I thought it was the right thing to do, I would just do it. And a lot of them have more of an attachment to their money and they're like not so willing to just kind of make, you know, the right decision. They think, okay, well, let's make the safe decision. And so I kind of bullied people, and it was kind of fun. Half the people, they enjoy playing with me. They're like, oh, it's this guy. You know, he's going to sit down and, you know, he's going to loosen up the game because I play pretty loose, aggressive. And it gets interesting. Pots get big.
What's the biggest pot or near biggest? I don't know if you can remember them all.
I've won a couple of pots that were like around $3,000. One of them, I was bluffing. And he called me with a worse hand.
Wait, he had the worst hand?
He had the worst hand.
But you were bluffing.
I was bluffing. And okay. He called me with ace high because he was like quite sure that I was bluffing. And I was. But I was bluffing with a better hand. I had ace high also. I had ace king high.
Nice.
But the way the hand played out, we'd been playing for 20 hours or something straight. There was a drunk guy at the table. There was me and a few people, and we kind of just picked on this one guy.
20 hours straight?
It was a long game.
That is some degenerate shit.
Normally, they closed the tables at about 3 a.m., but they kept the tables open for us because we were tipping really well. The pots were big. The stacks were big. Like, it was a $300 buy-in table, but we're all sitting on, like, a minimum of $3,000. So there was a drunk guy just pissing money, and so we were tipping, like, you know, $10, $15 a hand because the pots were big. So they kept the tables open for us. We played for a while. Over the course of the night, I figured out this guy plays, you know, certain hands certain ways, preflop. And so the way he played that hand preflop, I kind of pegged his range down. I knew he wouldn't have aces or kings, and he wouldn't have a hand like 5-6 suited or 7-8 suited. So he kind of narrowed his range down to, like, medium-sized pocket pairs, stuff like that, maybe bad aces. So the situation came up where I didn't want to call. I didn't want to fold. So I just started, you know, betting at him. And the pot ended up to be about $3,000 at the end. I bet 700 on the river, and the board was like 5, 6, 7, 9, whatever little cards that he shouldn't have had. I bet 700 with ace high. He calls. But my ace high is better than his ace high, and it was a hand that shouldn't have happened. There's no reason that a pot should be that big the way that the hand played out. He should have folded a long time ago.
Why do I love it so much when, like, the pot's big and, like, you guys both have nothing? Like, two bluffers. I kind of like that story.
I kind of like it, too. I kind of wish there was a guy at the table that would just tell jokes the whole time. Like, I could, because I've seen, like, poker games, and they're nearly silent. You know, they're just the sound of, like, chips clacking, and everybody's being really quiet.
I like that sound.
Man, I need a guy there to lighten the mood. You cut the tension with a knife. It's ridiculous.
Some players are more interesting than others.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not interesting. I sit there quietly. I just try to look the same every hand, and it's just because it's like chess. It's in your head. The chips are a reflection of who's outthinking, you know, and that's just it. So I think more than, you know, interact. Some people are more of like a showman. I'm not a showman.
But you like it as almost like a sport.
Yeah, there's, you know, some endurance involved.
Well, you know what? I kind of want to go to the casino now. It's been a while. But I'm like blackjack and like craps and roulette. I'm just there to have a good time. And
roulette looks like a good time.
You've never tried it?
I've never tried it, but it looks like a good time.
It's fun. There's a spinning wheel. There's a bouncy shiny ball. Like, that's all I need.
The James Bond movies make it look like a lot of fun.
Wait, isn't that baccarat that he plays? Not roulette.
James Bond
played baccarat.
Probably same effect, right?
I don't know. Isn't there another game with a spinny wheel?
I mean, there's a few games.
You know, I really don't know a lot about gaming.
What's up?
I just thought we'd leave a fun little silence in there for you to cut out later.
It's a nice segment we like to call Dead Air.
Yeah.
Well, we can cut things.
Yeah. Dead air is really easy to cut out. it's stupid things that we say that are a bit of a trick.
Yeah.
But I'm getting okay at it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I give myself a lot of practice by saying a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah. So 20 hours playing poker, like, if that's your, like, job, like, I don't think I would ever go to work for 20 hours.
Well,
like,
you enjoy it, though.
Does that get fucking tiring?
Well,
I do not enjoy my job.
I normally wouldn't play for that long. It was just a good situation. I couldn't leave the table. Situations like that don't happen very often. Guy sits down, gets hammered, and just is determined to empty his pockets. You don't see that every day.
So you got to make hay when the sun shines.
I mean, yeah. Like, some days you play for 2 hours and say, eh, fuck it. Not in the mood. Or, you know, the game is just not good. But that was a good game. Money was, you know, flowing.
Again, like sales. You know, when it rains, it pours, and you got to be there to pick up as much as you can because it might be slow later. You got to squirrel away some.
Yeah. I mean, he was all in every third hand. It was ridiculous.
You know, maybe he's one of these guys that finds poker as boring as I do that just needs to do dickhead shit to make it worth, like, doing. Like, it's not entertainment if something isn't happening. Like, if you guys have, like, this boring, like, fucking, what do you call that? Just like folding and shit and folding, no action, no re-raising, just like uncontested pots. Like, man, that's dull. I want to see somebody go all in.
They call it grinding. Yeah, that's grinding.
Why is it called grinding? It should be called fun.
Well, I mean, I enjoy winning, so sometimes that's the correct
fun
thing.
Fun for you.
It's the correct thing. It's the correct thing to do sometimes is to play tight, play small pots. It depends.
So do you like, the thing I have problems with gambling in poker is, you're going to be folding on hands.
You're going to be folding quite a few hands.
So that means you're giving money away. It feels like a loss to me every time.
Not true. Well, in like Texas Hold'em or Pot Limit Omaha or whatever, you're only in the blinds, you know, two hands out of like every six at the minimum. But at the casino, it's like nine-handed tables. So every nine hands that you get dealt, you're only paying for two of them. And you're paying like $1 or $3. And you're sitting on a stack of 300 or more. That's the buy-in. So you're losing, like, relatively nothing. And then when you play pots, you're playing for, like, $50 pots, usually at a minimum. So you lose $3 here, you lose $1 there, and then you win a $50 pot.
But to me, it still feels like, even if the denomination is low, and you know what? That's just why I can't...
You know what? I would want to make $50. I'd feel good about that. I'd be like, hey, $50, I'll win that pot.
See, I think, well, I paid $10 to get there, right? Like, say you folded a bunch, and then you're $40. That's true. It just feels like a loss, and I think that's where I get like frustrated,
hey,
and then I start making more aggressive.
Give a couple bucks to the dealer, you know.
I do
you
that.
Gotta shoot
him
a couple bucks.
When I'm playing roulette, I tip the guy spinning
I mean,
the wheel.
Losses can be frustrating, but it wouldn't be the folding types losses that bother me. It's those times that you get all the money in the middle, and you're an 80% favorite to win, but then they hit one of those few cards that give them the winning hand. That's really frustrating. That's more frustrating than just losing blinds. Blinds are practically nothing.
Yeah. That's just the cost of that's the ticket to play the ride, and then
everybody pays blinds.
Yeah. Well, and it keeps the game going even if nobody gets any good hands, right? Like, just keeps it moving.
Oh yeah. I mean, if the blinds are $3, the average raise is going to be 15 at a live setting. So, you know, you're building pots. That's what it is. It's just pot building.
Poker, eh?
Yeah, I had no idea.
I still think it's a glamorized the idea of trying to do it professionally, and I like kind of want to root for you, kind of like the same way I want to root for a musical artist who wants to do that as work, right? You want to root for that situation. I don't know why it's comparable.
I want to root for a podcast with 600 unique visitors to the website. I want to root for them to get like 1,000 times bigger so they can get one single sponsor. You know what? Shoot for the stars. Like, believe in yourself. Have a dream.
Mediocre dream. Help us hit mediocrity. Tell your friends about the podcast.
Yeah.
And you know what? We haven't had mail in a bit.
Wait, I thought we got an email. Wasn't it mean?
Oh, no, we got we the something? Last thing we got was a piece of hate mail from England.
I forget. What was it?
Hate mail from England. What did it say?
It said, you should really warn people they have to be drunk or high to enjoy this show.
Yeah.
And they know us. So they said, this is why I only ever hung out with you in bars.
Right.
That was Must 99.
So you're saying that this podcast is basically the Sonic Youth of podcasts. You got to be drunk or high to enjoy it. Otherwise, it's just garbage.
You never
listened to Sonic Youth, did you?
Not really.
There's a reason.
I've heard it. I couldn't remember any of it.
You don't need to.
Never caught me.
It's self-important
bullshit. What did the Dreadnoughts say about it?
What? Did they say something about Sonic Youth?
I think they did. I think they said they'd call Sonic Youth masturbation, but masturbation is enjoyable. I believe is the quote.
Yeah, because like that's basically what that band is like jerking each other off.
But you know what? They ended up making money off it, which we haven't. Actually, no, we got donations. We did get some donations there.
You know what? I cannot respect a band that has a couple in them. There's a we'll say it's a heterosexual couple, but you know, like in that case, Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore, they're married. Like I don't like that. Like one of you is not pulling your weight, you know. Like if you're there because you're married, not because, you know, you're like a good musician, like I don't know, man. I think they really they need to have some integrity. So that's what I have against Arcade Fire and Group Love and Sonic Youth. And what other bands had married members? Oh, actually no, I fucking love White Stripes.
I was going to say White Stripes.
Fucking love White Stripes. They're so good.
Do you like White Stripes or just like Jack White?
I like White Stripes. I like Meg's voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a couple songs she... Yeah.
Huh. Should we try to get them on the next podcast?
I don't want to get Jack. He's kind of like... He'll take it over. You know, he's got that personality type. Meg would be cool, though.
All right. Hold on.
Can you write that down?
Yeah.
Meg would be really cool. Because I feel like if Jack White came on the show, he would just like talk about amps for like 3 hours, you know?
Yeah, it's just like that other
like
guy
we had. Tube amps, you know? Like, it'd be dull.
I might get off on a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a good 15 guitars laying around the house.
I don't think I quite have 15,
mandolin.
But I got a fear. Yeah, and a mandolin.
And a mandolin.
I think there's five, Trevor. I honestly think there's five.
Well, that one's broken, so it's just for parts. That one is one, two... That one's empty. That's a case.
There's five guitars in this one room. Plus a
and
mandolin.
I know there's two in the kitchen.
There's three on a stand in there.
There are stringed instruments in your house.
I almost bought
a
new one the other day.
There's also a rifle and a mandolin.
There's a rifle
so
and a knife.
We're keeping things like really varied here.
Nobody said anything about the stuffed
Magical Trevor
on the tape.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
It's got a roof.
No, I don't think it needs an introduction. I think it can exist without explanation.
It's wearing a name tag.
What were we talking about? Poker. Right. So
I think we moved on from poker. And actually, while we still have a little bit of time, I don't know how to segue into this.
What's that?
But you wrote it on the clipboard.
Wait, so, I didn't read this because I don't work. What did he write?
You must have had other interesting roommates in other places that you've stayed at or...
I have stayed in psych wards.
Psych wards, plural?
Yeah, I've been to a few.
Oh.
Schizophrenia.
Almost.
Schizophrenia. It was originally...
Poker really good in there?
Poker. Well, I played some poker in the psych ward.
Did
but
you really?
You don't make a lot of money.
Oh, man, because you're playing for, what, like crayons?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, why?
Well, schizophrenia. Originally...
Are you schizophrenic?
Yes, but I was originally diagnosed as... It was drug-induced psychosis.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, they decided, okay, this is permanent.
Oh.
It's not just drug-induced, but it was drug-triggered.
Wow.
But schizophrenia runs in my family. My father was schizophrenic. One day I kind of woke up, and I could hear voices in my head. I was very paranoid. I kind of just, it really changed my perception of the world. Didn't know how to interact with my my surroundings because you know, your thoughts get jumbled and you're hearing six different things at once, voices and, you know, flashbacks of memories, shit like that. So I just kind of shut down. So I just kind of stopped speaking. So I went to the psych ward. I was in there for 4 months.
Do you just go by yourself? Like,
No. I was brought there because, you know, I wasn't speaking. So I would just flat out ignore people. I was in foster care at the time. And so they kind of thought, he's not responding. Let's fucking call somebody and see if they can deal with him.
Examination, see what's going on.
Yeah. And so they thought it was strange behavior. So yeah, I spent 2 months silent. And then...
Wait, how old are you?
During this period?
Yeah.
Well, the first time it happened, I would have been 15-ish. So yeah, I went to the psych ward for a little while, in and out, here and there. They put you on drugs that reduce your quality of life. side effects are unpleasant.
Wow.
So I prefer to be unmedicated.
You seem like a functional schizophrenic, though. You know, there's like, you know, alcoholics that live their life and go to work and stuff. You seem like a very high-functioning schizophrenic.
I think I'm fine. I mean, if I recognize the symptoms, I just go and say, hey, can I get some medication really quick, and then I'm fixed up, you know?
Oh, really?
I recognize the symptoms. The first time was the worst because I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
But
then you saw the signs and you know what to look for.
When you start hearing voices in your head and you've been through this situation a couple times, you're like, okay, let's just get some medication.
This is the most self-aware schizophrenic I've ever met.
I mean, some of them, they're on buses chopping people's heads off. I haven't done anything like that.
No. You're talking about it like insulin, though. You're like, yeah, sometimes it affects me, so I got to go in and get it worked on so it doesn't become a thing.
My sanity gets a little bit low when I just need a little boost.
Edgar Allan Poe once said, you know, I became insane with horrible intervals of sanity.
Oh, nice. So were any of the people with you? The kind of people that cut people's heads off, or
wait, single room, group sleeping situation.
Yeah, how does
what's
this
that
go?
Like?
Oh, is it like a hostel?
It varies. Well, it was just in the hospital, so there's psych wards in there. The first one was Surrey. They have three wards, or no, I think they have five wards actually. But I was in the adult ward at first. They put me in the adolescent ward at some point. The adolescents, that ward was boring as shit. That's just a bunch of kids who like attempted suicide. And then they were just, you know, not a good conversation. The adults, that was a lot of fun. I was in the adult ward at 15 years old. I made friends with everybody.
They got good at being crazy, is what you're saying.
they're
lousy at poker.
But yeah, the first 2 months I didn't interact with them. They were a bit surprised when I started speaking. But yeah, lots of pretty nurses. They paid lots of attention to me. It was a good time.
But any real psychos? Have had some interesting conversations. Because just me standing outside a bar, not having a cigarette on the street, you come across people that will tell you something memorable. They'll tell you something so weird it stays with you.
There was one girl. She had been in the psych ward at the Surrey Memorial Hospital for 7 years.
Yeah.
That was her life. And
7 years. And how old was she?
I think she was like in her mid-20s. But that's kind of what she had been doing. And every other day she would flip out, refuse to take her medication. They'd have, you know, a few security guards come in, like 4 or 5 security guards have to hold her down. She'd flip out, end up in the isolation rooms, whatever. But so she was on disability when they first diagnosed her. And so she spent 7 years in there and her bank account just grew. So if one day she just decides, you know what, I kind of feel like being normal, she can walk out there with, you know, a bankroll.
What?
But she's hanging out in the...
So the government's paying her to live at home, and they're also paying for her to live in a hospital. That's fucking amazing.
Wow.
No, you said she was there for 7 years.
Yeah.
This is a thing going on in the room right now where people are actually becoming aware of Canada's ability to hold you without a trial indefinitely. And you can hold somebody on a mental health thing against their will forever.
Did that happen during the Harper administration?
No, it's always been a thing.
Huh.
And so people started abusing it just by like systematic laziness. But yeah, they're talking about changing it so people's cases get reviewed. But yeah, you can be there for like 4 or 5, 6 years.
If they find you to be dangerous to yourself or others. And she, I guess, is dangerous.
Yeah, but they don't have a system in place where you have to check in with a judge every now and again. You just, yeah.
So you're 24 now.
23.
23. You were 15 when you went.
Yeah.
And you've been a couple of times through your life since that point.
Yeah.
Ever have a nut house romance?
Yeah, my first girlfriend, I met her in the psych ward.
Oh, really?
This was when I was 15.
Okay, let's call her Mary.
Okay, so Mary was 21 years old. She was in there for, you know, bipolar, etc. split personality disorder. I don't know, but she tried to kill herself.
Sounds awesome.
She was moody.
She sounds like a freak.
She
bipolar, you know, girls are the best of times and the worst of times.
She was interesting, but so she was attracted to me because I was just like, she came into the psych ward around the time when I kind of decided to start interacting with my surroundings again, and I was enthusiastic. I was very amused with the whole situation because to me, schizophrenia, it felt like a really intense acid trip, and it lasted 2 fucking months. It was nuts.
Shit.
Just the distorted perception of reality, right? So I was like quite enthusiastic, quite joyful, and so I made her laugh. She was pretty, and yeah, so it kind of worked out. We dated for a few years, like 3 years, 4 years.
Outside of the institution, yeah. So you guys met there. What's that like? Like, how did she? Is there a female wing and a male wing, and you guys have a common area?
No, they mix everybody together. It was just one unit.
Hold up, like after like lights out and stuff, can she like sneak into your room?
They would not appreciate that. They have cameras. They watch you. Oh, you know, we got in trouble a few times for you know hanging out.
Okay.
Did I've got to ask? Did you ever close the deal in the crazy house? Like
inside, well, while I was in there?
Did you have crazy sex?
Not in the psych ward. No.
Oh. No. Ah. For the sake of this podcast, though, you did.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good.
There you go.
Hey, you know, kind of like Nardwuar interviews. I did some research, and one of your fans mentioned you had a roommate at one point there. I think his name was like Khaled, or they said it was something Middle Eastern. And what can you tell us about Khaled?
What can I tell you about Khaled?
Yeah.
I know nothing about Khaled.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe this is a complete bullshit research, but apparently this guy killed his family and he was literally wearing a towel on his head and trying to escape.
He was wearing like a towel he had found as a turban?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was trying to escape bad because God was telling him to escape and that he needed to avenge the death of his parents. You don't remember this?
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. I got distracted.
Okay,
I'm
glad
a little,
this really happened.
I'm a little inebriated.
Oh, okay.
That's how we like our guests.
Because I heard this story and I thought, I hope to God that's true.
I picked up on the second half.
Ah.
So, Cal, what's his name?
Khaled.
Khaled.
That wasn't his name.
What was his name?
That was what distracted me. I didn't recognize the name.
Let's just use it for the sake of the show.
Well, so Khaled, this guy, you know. Yeah, he was planning an escape attempt from the hospital for a while, and it was interesting to watch. He was tying towels together and, you know, planning on, like, breaking windows.
He was making
and stuff.
A rope?
He was trying to make ropes, you know.
Was there an area he would have climbed out of, or is he just making rope?
He was never going to be successful. It was a futile attempt.
Wow. He was putting all his faith in God and none of his faith in success.
Were you rooting for him a little bit, though? Didn't you kind of want to see him, like...
I wanted out of his room.
Oh, wait. Did he kill people?
Did he tell you his story?
He told me some stuff. I mean, I can't remember all the specifics. I haven't thought about
that.
Well,
it obviously wasn't that memorable then. I mean, to meet somebody who killed his parents.
Well, I don't think that's debatable whether or not he killed his parents.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not my story. I don't know.
Was he owning up to it, or is that was just the rumor?
I mean, I don't even know.
What I heard is that he got arrested for stealing a chocolate bar, and that he had to get out because somebody killed his family 3 days ago. And I said, when did you get arrested? So I said, when did you get arrested? And he said, 3 days ago.
Wow. That's
so
coincidental.
I don't think he stole a candy bar. I think he killed his family.
I was highly medicated during this whole situation. I remember it vaguely.
You're missing out. It was hilarious.
I remember it vaguely. I remember thinking this guy's crazy and I want out of this room.
Yeah. So that's a bad roommate. Is he worse than Keith?
Keith was worse.
For sure.
Keith was aggressive.
Yeah,
this guy wasn't aggressive.
At least Khaled kept his hands to himself and just tried to sneak out.
Yeah.
He's just making ropes. Wait, did he have he didn't have any sheets with holes in it?
No.
Like, he's like, hey, Warwick, can you clean this sheet?
He had towels on his head, and he was, you know, tying sheets together, but that's about it.
That's got to be a real bitch for the staff, having to untie all these tight knots and ropes, or in sheets. It must be annoying, like the laundry people.
Maybe they prefer that to all the linen they get that, you know, comes soaked in blood and piss and whatever else.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Oh?
Probably not worse than that, yeah.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, they get all kinds of dirty shit they don't really want to fuck with.
Really? Gross.
You know what? It's probably not even that they don't want to fuck with it. It's that they're just used to it now. You know, like, oh, this is what happens. We get shitty sheets and...
It's part of the job. You know, there's people who think we should make euthanasia part of the job.
Part of the job?
Yeah, so they want doctors, they want to legalize, you know, assisted suicide.
Physician. Oh, doctor-assisted suicide, yeah.
Yeah.
They want to do that. Well, I mean, wouldn't you want it to be a doctor?
I mean, but doctors don't necessarily make that a career choice for the purpose of killing people.
Oh, you're saying they might not want to do the gig.
That's normally not why people become doctors.
Well, not all doctors want to be gynecologists, but some do. So you make it part of the section, yeah.
There's probably a guy out there who wants to do it.
There, and not even in a malicious way. A guy who's like...
No, just in a mercy kind of, you know, like...
I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents were really sick, and I wish that maybe they had met their end in a more comfortable manner.
Yeah,
he's
got some life experience to lead towards it.
I don't like killing people, but I you know, sometimes there's a... I wish... I'm healthy, and I'm young, relatively young. Not as young as I used to be, but... I kind of, when I get there, I kind of want to have the option.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. I kind of want to be the, and I don't want to ever have to make that decision, because that's a terrible decision to make, but I bet you it gets easier to make when you're...
You know what, but you can just do, like, the kind of around, the not quite legal, the sort of under the table thing, and just, like, go to your doctor, be like, hey, I know doctor-assisted suicide isn't legal, but my back really hurts. I could really use some back pain medication. And then, you know, like, remember, like, Doug Stanhope's mom? You remember that story?
No.
Oh, man, you know Doug Stanhope. He's a famous comedian. He's a very funny guy. Anyway, you guys should go, like, check out YouTube for the story of, you know, their mom's suicide. He does a bit about it. It's pretty good.
Oh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but I think we know where this is going. Back pain medication.
Yeah. Just give me what
he's
I need.
He's one of my favorite comics, honestly.
He has a lot of good observations.
My plan A, because it euthanasia, to my knowledge, in Canada, isn't been approved, is I was just going to ask you, because I figure you'd probably do it.
You know, you'd really have to sell me on it. And that's when your, like, geriatric salesman skills would come in handy. Like, can I sell Jeff onto killing me? I don't know.
I wonder, just, money? Like, are you motivated by money much?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
You know, I had an idea. You know, you're talking about doctor-assisted suicide. You were talking about a terrible roommate. And I've been seeing in the news a lot, there's some stuff about fentanyl. Now, I wonder if you could just blow a little bit of fentanyl in, like, somebody's nose, you know, like, or in their eyes or whatever, where they'll, absorb it. Just, like, you need a speck, really. And then so they'll overdose and die. And then just kind of, like, the crack fairy, just sprinkle some crack. You know, just leave baggie of drugs on them, then accidental overdose, when really it was murder.
Where were you, like, a few weeks ago when he was living with this guy?
I know, right? Well, jeez. I just thought of it now.
See, this is why I would ask you to euthanize me. This here.
There you go. Like,
that took you 2 seconds. You figured it out.
All I would do is I'd take your phone and I'd text some sketchy burner phone or whatever, and I'd be like, hey, blah, 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 drugs. And then I'll be like, all right, Trevor, take a whiff of this, and nothing. And you know what? It'd probably be peaceful. You'd probably be real euphoric for a minute.
How I want to go.
Damn.
Doing drugs.
I think we're giving too many people ideas. We do not advocate drugs.
But please send us your emails at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com.
Yeah, or drugs.
Or drugs. Which you could mail to P.O. Box.
We don't have it. But yeah, I guess you can't email drugs. That's just occurring to me, and I know it shouldn't be.
I'd really like to download some acid, you know.
Yeah, for real.
Download a little cocaine.
You know how they used to play records, and now we have these MP3s?
Yeah.
I was thinking, back in the day when you listen to records, you say, like, or tapes even, you say, man, I listened to that tape so many times. Like, I bought it 3 times because I wore it out. Where that record, I played that thing till it was blank, you know?
Mm-hmm.
MP3s, like, what are you going to say? Like, oh, man, I played that file on so many devices, it got corrupted in the end. Like, what do you say?
I recharged my battery, like, 10 times, just playing the shit out of it.
I listened to that album on repeat for 3 days. Like, you don't. It's not the same.
I slowed the entire cloud down. I listened to this song so much.
Oh, good one. Good one. I went over my data. I streamed so much Wu-Tang.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know about that.
You know what? We're actually coming up on time.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank our guests for coming in. Thanks a lot, Warwick. You opened our eyes to some parts of life that not everybody gets to see.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, we really do appreciate it. I really liked hearing about professional poker and crazy houses.
It's nice to have a window into the world of somebody with such unique experiences as yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming out. If anybody wants to check out our entire episode library, it's ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. Gmail at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. Facebook, Stitcher. That's it. Not iTunes yet. Oh. They're not letting us on. I think there's some strong language in some of our titles, and I've got to clean it up before they'll accept it.
Mother effer.
I don't know if it's worth it. iTunes is a big form, though.
It's not worth it. I really don't like them.
You don't like iTunes?
I don't like iTunes at all.
You're kind of like against everything Apple, though, aren't you?
You know what? No. I use a MacBook. I got a MacBook Air.
Oh, you just really don't like the phones?
Yeah, I really don't like the phones, and I don't like iTunes.
Well, I'm like all Apple over here. It's just all I have. Yeah. So not a sponsor of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, Apple, but thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next Friday.
Dead air go for too long, the system automatically kicks into like disaster mode or something like that, where it starts playing like that fucking elevator music, that like technical difficulties thing. It's automatic, so like even if they're just like, oh wait, I gotta look this up for like something, if there's I think more than 10 seconds of dead air, go straight to this thing.
Really?
So you got to be really careful like to not let that happen.
But they're that concerned with dead air?
Yeah, not even for like for the show to like go well, like not for that reason at all, just because of the hassle of turning off this message once it started.